Welcome to That Entrepreneur Life, a podcast about entrepreneurship that takes you from idea to launch and beyond. Each week, your hosts, Andrew Lees and Clint McPherson, discuss different business topics aimed at adding value to any entrepreneur's journey.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of That Entrepreneur Life. I'm Andrew Lees, and I'm joined here with my co-host, as always, Clint McPherson. What's going on, man?
Not much, brother. This is our last interview of the week, so I'm stoked about that. But let's go ahead and kick this thing off by welcoming our special guest, Amanda Ma, to the show.
No worries. Thanks, both of you, for having me on the show. My name's Amanda, and excited to be here.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Amanda. It's an honor to have you on the show. Before we get into everything and, you know, go over our questions and our discussion, can you just, you know, tell our audience who you are and what you're all about?
Sure. I'm the founder and CEO of Innovate Marketing Group. We're a live and virtual event agency based in Los Angeles. And some of our clients include TikTok, Honda, and City National Bank.
That's awesome. Yeah. And with all that said, Amanda, that I know that you're the current founder of Innovate Marketing Group, right? As you just touched on, and a former co-founder of a few other companies. Can you take us back before we take more of a deep dive into what Innovate Marketing is all about and tell us where your entrepreneurial journey started and what it is about entrepreneurship specifically that keeps that fire burning inside of you?
Sure. My entrepreneurial journey really officially started about 14 years ago. And I think my dad had a lot to do with that because he was also an entrepreneur. And I saw how hard he worked as well as the benefits because through the fruition of his hard work. So growing up, I knew one day I also want to be an entrepreneur. And, you know, when we're little kids, we would actually sell stuff at our home and trying to sell dry mango to my neighbors. My parents say, you know what? Other people don't eat that. It's more like an Asian thing, you know? So I didn't care. I just made it. Let's see who bought it. Yeah. And then I love being an entrepreneur because it's all about, you know, coming up with fresh ideas, and every day the journey is different. And I love that.
Yeah, you hit it right on the head, right? Every day is different. And that's the thing is I never wanted to get into after coming out of the military, after experiencing almost like Groundhog's Day, right? We're deployed. We're doing the same thing, it seems like, over and over. And then when you're in the corporate world, it can seem like that, right? Especially if you're one of the worker bees, or if you're somebody that's sitting at the desk and you're knocking stuff out, it's like you can't wait to Friday because everything's just so routine. You know exactly what you're going to do. You know exactly what reports have to be run, and it gets so boring. But I think as entrepreneurs, entrepreneurship, if you're a true entrepreneur, you're not doing the same thing every day. Yes, some of the things have to be broken down. Yes, you have to get in the routine and find your what works for you. But it's like it's a different challenge every day. Even when you're the founder, it makes it even more challenging, right?
Yeah, you know, people that I interview love asking me, "What's your day? What does a day look like?" I'm like, every day is different. That's the truth, you know.
Hard to nail it down. Yeah. Especially now, I'm sure, as you're juggling, you know, the what we're going through with COVID and virtual events, which we can talk about a little bit later. But I'm sure it's just like, you know, you're just kind of going day by day at this point, probably, right? You know, just trying to figure everything out.
Correct. Yeah, you're right, Andrew.
Yeah. So with IMG, you're creating experiences for companies, but at its core, IMG is a marketing company, right? Because you're trying to help customers, help your clients get some more visibility, I guess. And I'm sure they're hiring you to generate some kind of ROI for them. How do you and your clients measure that with the type of marketing that you do?
We call ourselves an experience agency is very intentional, right? So we don't just do events because every event is very purposeful. And as well as, you know, we talk about when we first start a project with a client, we talk about KPIs and ROI. you know, and that's also shared internally so that when we do this project, a lot of time we actually revisit and go back to the KPI and ROI and say, hey, does all these activities or elements of what we're doing serve that? If it doesn't, we shouldn't be doing that, right? We need to hit that so we know, like, because a lot of these experiential events that we're working on is for marketing purposes, right? They're trying to build brand, they're trying to gain more fans, or they're trying to impress their fans or top 1% influencers, you know, you name it. There's all these marketing elements. So I definitely, you know, you hit it right on the nail that we're not just an events agency, we're an experience agency. Yeah. And I truly believe that.
I like that. I like how you frame that for Andrew's question, because you have to look at it that way. And I think attacking it and just having that mindset and gaining that trust and moving forward and helping these clients get that brand awareness, and that those KPIs are so important, that it's one of those things that me owning a digital marketing agency myself, I understand how important KPIs are, how important ROI is at the end of the day for the client. But if those KPIs aren't laid out, or if you don't even know why you're running this campaign, because I know a lot of marketing companies, they want to just highlight the green, right? They don't want to show you where they're failing you. And I think that's an injustice to the clients.
Correct. Yeah. And then that's why we have partnership for, you know, 8 years, 10 years, very long time, because they know we're here to help them grow. When we always, you grow, we grow, right? Let's grow together. And we're all about building that long lasting relationship. Constantly thinking how to up our game every year, because then the clients are like, great job, you guys, that was fantastic, right? What are you going to do for the next event? And then they come back with, you know, I didn't think you guys could top the last one, but you did, you know, and we love doing stuff like that.
That's so cool, because then you know that it's working. When you have clients come back to you as a marketing agency, you know that things are working and they're getting results of some kind. And but yeah, I like how you talk about the fact that it's not just an event company, because there are, I'm sure there's plenty of companies out there who hire event companies, you know, or event planners to, you know, create this event or this experience for them. And, but they're not really thinking about trying to move the needle for their business. Maybe they just want to throw an event and they, you know, and they're not really, they're like, well, this will probably help, but we're not sure how, but you know, it'll generate some buzz maybe. But I really like that you're so intentional with it. And I think that's really important. And probably I'd imagine differentiates you from a lot of your competition.
You hit it right on the nail again, Andrew.
So what are the KPIs that your clients are typically looking for? You know, what are they kind of expect? What's a typical client expecting out of an event?
Sure. So some of the KPIs we usually deal with are anywhere from conversions, right? After the event, how many people now purchase the product? And some has to do with like satisfaction of the event. Like, you know, we usually get really high rating, like 98%, 99% satisfaction. Like they love the events, because again, we're about building that brand. So, but building that experience that they can experience their brand through an event versus is more than just putting a logo on the wall or, you know, have for sure, but really like, how do you touch the five senses, or how do you make it an immersive experience now that it's online, right? So prior to jumping on this podcast today, we were actually talking with one of our big clients talking about, you know, the whole virtual experience, how we build that virtual experience for them, for their influencers, as well as the immersive experience, which means prior to the experience, sending the attendees a kit, you know, perhaps has all the elements, right? So on the day of the virtual event, maybe we're all wearing the same shirt, we all have the same paper or something like that, right? And that makes it really fun. Like we're apart, but we're together. So tying that all that in, because as humans, we just need that connectivity.
Yeah, for sure. No, I agree. I love that, because that's not even an element I even thought about. I'm sure if I was in the event planning and I was hosting a virtual event or even in a physical event, that's something that's important, right? Have that swag, have that thing to where everybody can be wearing the shirt, you know, ask me about my podcast or this or that. And I think then when everybody sees that, it gets them excited, because they're like, okay, now it does give you that connection. And even on a virtual event, you don't feel so isolated, because you can feel isolated when you're just on the other side of the on the other side of a screen, right? And so I love that whole aspect and that dynamic that you take for it. Yeah, and so this question probably is going to tie into exactly what we're talking about. But I know many businesses, when it comes to just business in general, they would like to reach out and engage directly with their customers and supporters, right? And so, but some of them, small businesses in general, because that's where my passion lies, they don't really know, and they have a hard time visualizing where to actually start. And I'm sure large companies that never held an event are in the same boat. But so can you walk us actually through the process of how your company, IMG, actually earns the trust of their clients initially? And how do you hone in that type of experience that makes the most significant impact for that company's brand?
Perfect. I would like definitely start with the why. Why are you doing this event? You know, that needs to be very clear, and your goals, objectives, right? We usually spend some time, we call it the discovery process, and we put that as part of our scope of work as mandatory. You know, to do that event strategy, we'll find out why, and then we put on the strategy. Because a lot of time, again, that goes back to, if you don't know where you're going, you'll never get there, right? That's something I learned in school, but I truly believe that, especially practicing, you know, building these life experiences or virtual experiences. So start with the why, and then from there, build your strategy. After you have your strategy, then you could go into execution, you know? And then when it comes to strategy, when it's virtual, you have to really think of, you know, is this going to be a webinar? Is this pre-recorded, or is it a hybrid version where it's pre-recorded and live? Or is it, you know, do you want gamification? There's so many different elements that you can incorporate. And then what do you want your audience to take away? I think at the end of the day is the user experience. What do you want them to take away, and how do you want them to experience your event? Is it they just come and very educational, or is it they come and you want to interact with them? And I would say the ones that are interact with them probably see more success, just because, again, people feel engaged, right? Versus like, I could just listen to this recording another time, you know? So how to integrate that. And we do very fun stuff. Like, you know, we're just proposing to another client, like prior to starting conference, you know, why don't we start off with some music in the morning just to get people acquainted with the platform, and they start like building some connectivity between the attendees. We could have a sketch artist, you know, doing lunch or doing the panels, who's actually doing live sketching of the program. So when we're done with the program, you get this beautiful sketch of what you guys talked about. You know, so building experiences like that, like what, while we're in the panel, someone's drawing us, you know, they're drawing the physical people, but they're drawing and capturing the essence of that panel or of that educational session or of that session, you know, whether it's for internal or external. Some people want a 3D, some people don't need a 3D, like avatars, you know, and we do a lot of education right now because, you know, in the beginning of our service, just because it's so new to so many people. So, you know, we literally have a client come out and say, so do we have to build avatars? Like, here's a photo. And I'm like, no, we don't have to do avatars. Optional. Yeah. But it's pretty funny to see your own avatar, like what it looks like, right? But there's so many options out there. So I would say the education is super important, and finding the why, and then it really funnels down from there.
Yeah, that makes sense. And yeah, I mean, it sounds like you've got a really good, like you really spent a lot of time on the strategy part of the process, so that when it comes time to plan, because like for me, I'm just, you know, I was looking through your website, I'm looking at the events, I'm like, man, that looks like so much, like there's so much going on. And I'm like I would be probably the last person you'd ask to plan an event. it's just overwhelming. I mean, with my wedding, my wife did everything, and I, you know, it was just like, there's so many details, even for, you know, for a wedding, and then for something like a business, event like the ones that you're putting on are, I mean, they seem pretty large in scale and pretty complex. So I'd imagine that planning part of it is so critical to, you know, making sure the execution comes through.
Definitely. It's essentially 80% planning, 20% execution, right? If your planning is solid, your execution is going to be that much easier. A lot of our clients, you probably saw on our website, Andrew, the one we did at the Coliseum, that's a 3,000 people event at the LA Coliseum, like on the grass, which is really amazing experience for all the attendees who get to experience that. But literally the client came to us like, I have this vision, I have this idea, and I want to, you know, do this to celebrate our employees, and I want it at the LA Coliseum, and we have this partnership, and I want it on maybe this date. Okay, go for it. then we start doing our discovery process, but, you know, and we made it happen. We end up building zones. You know, we had a pamper zone, gaming zone. We take care of everybody. We have food trucks. It was so much fun. And I can tell you the people who missed it the first year, you know, because people get invited to these events from time to time, right? So they're like, and it was a weekend. So I was like, do I really want to go to this work thing, you know, even though it's fun, or do I sleep in or just stay in my pajamas? And I can tell you the people that missed it first year definitely heard about it. And then all their coworkers were saying, you missed it, Clint. You missed it, Andrew. You have to go. We had this. And they were like, oh my God, I can't believe I missed it. So we actually had more people sign up the following year, you know?
Yeah. No, that's awesome. I mean, I don't know how many events that I can tell you I've been to where it left a lasting impression, right? Outside of going to PodFest 2020 before COVID hit back in early March or late February. That was the only thing I've ever been to, but outside of going to a work event, I've been to several of them with my wife, right? She works in the corporate world. And so they're throwing events from time to time, but they're just like, why are we even here? Right? Like, add some excitement. So next year, when you do this again, I'll actually be excited about coming. Right. And obviously they're getting better. Yeah, they're getting better, but it's still like, oh man, they need somebody like Amanda, you know, they need somebody like you, they need your team, and like spice it up, have it exciting, just make it something that everybody is going to want to come to instead of being like, okay, I guess I'm going to get dressed and I'll attend this thing. Or like you said, stay in my pajamas, right?
Yeah. And I can tell you, I'm happy to have this reputation when we invite some people to some of the events that are open to the public, that people do come. Like, for to give you an example, we actually did a hotel opening, and then we invited some of our top clients to come experience like what we do. He of course invited his wife. They get a plus one, and his wife's like, nah, it's a work thing, I don't want to go, you go. So our client came, and then literally I think within the first few minutes he called his wife like, Jennifer, get over here, you're gonna love this. Like, they have, and he started listing all the experiences we have. Within 10 minutes, they also live in that city, so it was convenient. She showed up, and I was like, oh, Jennifer, I wasn't expecting you. I thought, you know, your husband said you weren't coming. And she said, well, he said I should be here. I was like, well, go explore, go have fun. And literally, they were just having such a blast. So then afterwards, the client came up to me and said, anytime in the future you have events like this, please invite my wife and I. We had a blast. Yeah, he's like, that's you so, like, they want to go. That was my date night. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. So they're looking for events for other companies, things too. That's so cool. Yeah. I mean, you really can't ask for anything better than that. So do you ever, create like I saw your sizzle reel on your website. Do you ever create kind of like a sizzle reel for a particular event to get people excited about it before the event happens?
Yes, definitely. If it, the budget permits, we would love to do that. And I feel like we're doing a lot more of that now compared to before, like life experience. A lot of time with the life experience, we're actually building the sizzle wheel after to kind of showcase the highlight. But with virtual, we do that. So to, like you said, Andrew, to engage them before, trying to build that FOMO effect, right? Like, hey, if you're not here, if you miss this virtual event, you're going to be pretty sad, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that kind of leads me into my next question. Now that there's a lot more virtual in our reality, which was kind of a corny thing there, but what do you have to do to create a virtual event, you know, that people feel engaged with and excited about? And does going virtual actually, does that actually help scale engagement? Is there any benefit to that?
Yes, we're seeing actually more attendees at these virtual events. So generally, if we're getting 1,000 people in person, we're actually seeing 5,000 virtually, because now it's a lot more accessible, right? Like, you guys are in North Carolina, you know, but maybe the event's in LA, you know, and you guys are celebrity status, so you can't fly everywhere, right? But now it's virtual. Sure, I put on, you know, I just have to look half as good. We joke about that. And I turn on my computer and I'm there, right? So definitely a lot more accessible. And that's what the industry is seeing as a trend too. Like, more people are coming and joining virtually. In terms of engagement, so going back to what I shared before about putting in elements, the content has to be solid. That's number one, right? Because more people, that's what they want. And then compacting, we're making it more impactful. We internally, we always talk about, and this was true for live events, quality versus quantity, right? So I don't want an all-day event. Just give me either 1-hour event or a 3-hour event, but very impactful. And then I don't get Zoom fatigue, right? But a whole day event is very tiring. And I know that because I've actually done some and it's very tiring, you know, but incorporating those fun elements, surprise delights, we love doing surprise delights. Those are really fun. And then sometimes we even do like surprise and delights. So the boxes, the box experience, like pre-event boxes, that's one of them. Doing some gamification. We have conferences where you got to go around and look for the quote unquote snowman. And then that's how you earn points. And we definitely show you what's in the raffle. And you're like, I want to win that TV, especially everybody's home right now. Right. So what do people want? That fabulous, you know, 50, 60 inch TV looks really nice in my living room. So I'm going to go around to all the sessions and collect all the snowmans. You know, the more snowmans I like, the more points I get. And then you can see who's in the running, right? Oh my God, like Andrew is 1 right now, Clint is 2, you know, but Clint is trying to catch up, you know. That's really fun. We also done some sessions where giving away, you know, if we have really good speakers, then we'll give away books, like their book, you know, but that's how we also integrate people, engage them, also make them do it, like, show that they're on the session, even though it's virtually, but they'll promote it on their social media. Because say, go and post this, and then we'll select someone from, you know, the post, social media post to win this book. And people love that. We also done giving away gift cards. That's probably the easiest, right? So like at the end of the session, not everybody wins a gift card, but one person from the group will win a gift card. Sometimes just building that platform and then allowing that connectivity opportunity, people love that, to be honest. Like, we'll start with the big group, team them out, and then reshuffle the group so that it's refreshed, so that you're not necessarily stuck with the same group for an hour. We reshuffle them every 15 to 20 minutes, and they get to meet all these new people that, you know, have the same purpose or same, they're in the same industry or same company.
Right. So was it COVID that made you pivot to virtual? Because I know we had somebody on, Ryan Rosoff, on our show and talked to him, and he was just doing live events, and then COVID hit. And I mean, in like a matter of weeks, they had to pivot so fast that they got everything online. They got everything rocking and rolling, and they started killing with virtual events. And right now, it's one of those things. You have to be in the virtual game, right? And so was it COVID that actually put you in this situation? And if it was, I mean, is it something, even if things go back to some semi-normal, is it something that's always going to be in your business plan going forward?
Yeah. So first of all, yes, COVID is the one that propelled us into doing virtual. Prior to COVID, we actually did some hybrid events for our client. Not a lot of people were interested in virtual. But when COVID hit back in March, we had a client who had a 1,000 people event in April. So we literally had 3 weeks to pivot. It was do or die moment, moment of truth, right? So we helped them pivot, and it was very successful, right? So from there, the whole team, you know, was brought up to speed, got training, and then we wanted to make sure we are well prepared so that we could help our client. because we, you know, I told the team, and they were like kind of in the beginning, because not a lot of people were doing virtual, right? Other than the big client we're working on. A lot of people were on hold thinking like, okay, this is going to blow over in 2 to 3 months and we could do life again. But then we're all still in it now, and it's August and it's not going to go anytime soon, unfortunately. So that's actually smart for people to pivot. So we were very, you know, lucky that we pivoted really early on. I think I just wanted to prepare for the worst so that if we went back to normal, we already know how to do that, you know? But in worst case scenario, because I was very early on, I was actually predicting till end of the year. I didn't want to have to do that, you know, but as entrepreneur, we just have to think fast. Otherwise, a lot of other agency actually went out of business in April right away. They just closed shop or they reduced their team. For us, we didn't do that. We kept our entire team, you know. Instead, we used the time to improve our SOP, train the team, you know, to pivot to virtual. I think we looked into over 40 platforms within the first month, you know, so that we could be super well prepared for our clients and what we have to offer, you know. Yeah, so it's been really great. And what I see after COVID, actually, you know, BizBash just asked as well. We often, you know, get the outreach to see like, what are you guys predicting, you know? And I would definitely say after, because we had so much success with virtual, that some of our clients for 2021, they're now asking for hybrid. So now we're looking into hybrid. So virtual is here to stay. It's not going to be, you know, some events will go back to life only because you can't really do those virtually. Like, for example, an event where I send you guys to Greece, right? I can't do that virtually. I can show you the movie, but send you some alcohol, you know? Yeah. But I'm sure you actually would love to go there. And I would too, right? But for the most part, we've been very lucky pivoting a lot of these virtual events successfully. And it's been a really fun journey.
So yeah,
fun.
Yeah, and it seems like as you were explaining that, it seems like on the one hand, you know, you're able to actually, you could have really as many attendees as you want, you know, scale it up and not really have a huge effect on the bottom line. On, you know, and in that same vein, but kind of on the other end of the spectrum, so you can have big clients, you can still support big clients very, very easily, or now you can easily after you figured it all out. But how about with like smaller business? Have you seen an increase in smaller businesses come to you and say, hey, now I can kind of afford to do this because now I'm not having to pay for all this huge live event? Is that something that's increased in your business?
Yes, we're definitely seeing that as well. Because normally with the live event, there's so many components like venue, food, that's huge, right? But with virtual event, I don't have to fee anybody, even though we have some. So we're sending them Grubhub gift cards. Because the expenses part is, I would say, like drops to half. And that's pretty significant. So for a lot of these smaller companies, we're able to help them do virtual event because now it's more cost effective. You know, so we did a grand opening a few weeks back, and that was for a healthcare facility, right? Normally it would cost double, but now that it's half, it's more cost effective. So we're actually working on other projects with that same client.
Yeah. Yeah. I the virtual aspect of it is so exciting to me, just for the simple fact that, like I mentioned, PodFest 2020, attending that, they just held some kind of virtual summit where they were trying to break the Guinness Book of World Records for the largest virtual event, right? And so they were getting everybody to sign up that, you know, they're obviously able to charge just like it was a live event and get people on and get huge individual speakers and everybody that, you know, is a huge podcaster and getting them into that environment and having people have breakout sessions and virtually. And I just was amazed at how quick they decided to do that after having one event already this year and they pivoted. And I just think if you're not taking like advantage of the virtual experience right now, especially if you're a business that, whether it's the remote working, right, a virtual assistant or anything like that, I mean, you're just missing a huge opportunity because, like you said, instead of having 1,000 people attend, you can have, you see 5,000 or 10,000, you know, and it's just amazing at the numbers that how any, you can be anywhere. And at any time you could just hop on. And even if you have just a few minutes, you can be, you can still be part of that environment or that atmosphere.
Correct. So we're killing it on the, you know, brand awareness KPI numbers. That's for sure. It's like, how do we measure this? We're 5,000 over expected. This is fantastic. You know, and like you were saying, a lot of these virtual events are actually not just for external, like for sales and for their attendee or like their customer, but also for internally. Building that, continue to build that culture, you know, while everybody's remote. Because for a while, I mean, in Los Angeles, we had like what the protests and all these things. It's very depressing, right? And having these virtual events where some could be like educational, like we did a mental health event. Internally, we did a virtual Lego team building event that helped boost morale. You know, we did like scavenger hunt. You know, so all these is supposed to bring the team closer together. And it was really fun. It was like, you know, one of the lists is like, do you have this? And we're like, wow, why do you have that? And it sparks like different conversation. Like, why do you have two mini watermelons? Or you know, like, why do you have 5 bats? Oh, I didn't know you play baseball, you know? So that interconnectivity was really fun. It was just so hilarious. Because I remember one of the scavenger hunt item was like something spiky and someone brought, it was just hilarious. We're like, why do you have that? You know?
yeah, for sure.
You realize what's really going on with people. You're like, I don't know.
Yeah. Like is not, no normal human being has that laying around in a house, right? You have it. And it, and like you said, it makes it fun because you get a good laugh at it. You get to ask them why in the world do you have that thing sitting there, and you get to hear that story behind it. And that's pretty cool.
Yes. Yes. And that's what we like, sparks conversation.
I love it. So Amanda, through your entrepreneurial journey, from the highs into the lows and everything you've been through to date, what is the most difficult thing about being an entrepreneur?
I mean, there are hard days, right? So being an entrepreneur is about, there's so many elements that are unknown. Who knew we did projection for this year, but who knew COVID would happen? Right, and would completely throw off our projection. So I think the unknown part is really hard, but at the same time, that's what we thrive on, right? We're really good at problem solving, pivoting, coming up with new ideas, and just keeping that momentum going. And that's why like having a really good network also helps. So when you're at the deep end, someone could help you and support you. And then when you're on the high end, someone also could be there to help celebrate with you, you know, and I have that group for myself as an entrepreneur. And I find that very, very important that I have that network and that support group that I can go to, right? My husband actually is a career guy. So he works for corporate. And sometimes I'm like, I can't talk to you. You just don't understand. You know, this is where I'm coming from as an entrepreneur. You keep thinking about, you know, corporate, like it just doesn't, you know, and I get frustrated. I talk to my entrepreneur friend. They're like, we speak the same language.
Right, exactly. Right. Yeah. It's like that unknown or that uncertainty is a little bit lost on the corporate world a little bit. You know, if you're working in it, you're just, there's certain fears and concerns that you have as an entrepreneur that you just don't have. You know, you might have different fears and concerns as an employee. You know, one of which, I mean, the uncertainty of like, is the company always going to be here? Am I always going to be here? You know, are they, is there going to be some stupid reason why I'm, you know, I have to be let go at some point, where you don't have that concern with your business, but you might have, you know, crazy clients that you have to deal with. And you're like, I don't know how they're going to react, you know, to something. And hopefully it's in a reasonable way. But if not, I have to be prepared for it. So yeah, it's definitely, it's good to have that network of entrepreneurs that you can talk to and just kind of have as a sounding board.
And Amanda, I love what you said about that, right? I feel the same way with my wife when it comes to, she's a career person, right, in the corporate world. But it's been like that for me forever, because I haven't always been an entrepreneur, but I was in the military for 10 years, and I've been married with my wife all of this time. And it's been something like when I went through something when I was in the military, it's like, I couldn't, like, she wanted to know, or she wanted to try to, and I'm like, I can't talk to you about that because you don't understand. And I feel the same way again now through my entrepreneurial journey, you know, after my military career, it's like, I can't talk to you about that because you don't understand. And she does the same thing with me in corporate, because I'm like, I'm trying to throw solutions out there when she comes to me with some of the things she's frustrated with. And then she's like, it doesn't work that way. And I'm like, well, I mean, that's why I'm an entrepreneur, because I cannot deal with what you deal with on a daily basis.
Yeah, the corporate politics, right? We don't have to deal with it. We're the boss, right? I don't have to really listen to anyone. But at the same time, you know, at corporate, I feel like it's very level-headed. There's like maybe up and down a little bit. But as an entrepreneur, I feel like it's like ups are very high, downs are very low, ups, you know, and you go through this roller coaster and then trying to find balance along the way, right? And then with corporate, I don't want to say it's like a safety net, but
the corporate world's kind of been designed and structured in a way that keeps. Cut out for a second there.
Yeah, you cut out there for a second, Amanda.
You're good though. You're back.
You're back with us.
So, well, Amanda, I feel like we could talk with you about this for a while, and you know, I'm sure there's plenty more questions we have. We'll have to have you back on the show, but as we wrap up the episode, could you give us, is there one piece of advice that you could leave with our audience that could help them on their entrepreneurial journey?
I'll say take a leap of faith, because a lot of us entrepreneurs, you just don't know sometimes if it will work out or not, but you just hope it will work out. You know, that's how I was when I started this agency. Another one, I would say go all in, you know, have no reservation. I'm very much like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to give it my 110%. Give it your all. And then you'll see that, you know, your hard work will pay off. And don't take no for an answer. Those would be my. I would say no is just a starting point of a conversation.
Okay. That's awesome. Yeah, I think a lot of people are like, if I get a no, I'll just move on to the next person I could get a yes from, you know.
Or get discouraged.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. For sure. Or just kind of give up. But yeah, that's really important. Just getting started and diving in. And really, there was a point where I started my consulting business in 2014. And for the first couple of years, I honestly didn't take it as seriously as I should have. And once I really dug in and, you know, put everything into it, I'd say within the last year, the difference is dramatic. And it was just like, just a mental shift and just focus. Okay, this is what I want out of it. This is how I'm going to get it. I'm just going to execute. And that's it. It made such a huge difference. So yeah, I think focusing on something and just really giving it everything you've got, that's such good advice.
Yeah. So, well, guys, I think that's a wrap for this episode. And from the both of us, Amanda, we want to thank you for taking the time out of your day and joining us and adding value on what we're trying to do with this podcast.
Thanks again. I had a great time as well.
Thanks, Amanda. Yeah, it was awesome to have you on. So, guys, thank you so much for listening to That Entrepreneur Life. To learn more about what Amanda's working on, check out innovatemkg.com. If you like what you heard today, make sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or any other major podcast directory. You can also find us on all the socials and on our website at thatentrepreneurlife.com.
And with that said, guys, we also want to quickly give a special shout out to our family and friends, include all our listeners, followers, and subscribers. If you find value in our show, please consider making a small donation. Even just a few dollars helps us keep moving things along and helps bring value to your entrepreneurial journey. Thanks for continuing to support what we do as entrepreneurs, guys. And don't forget to join us next week for another episode of That Entrepreneur Life.
Thanks for listening to That Entrepreneur Life podcast. Be sure to visit thatentrepreneurlife.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover our fantastic bonus content. Don't forget to join us next week for another episode as we continue to add value. Until next time.